Thank you. A long way to the back of the room. There are seats up the front if anyone wants to move forward. No one moves forward, I might move back. So, what do we got here? We are going to carry on our study of great women in the Bible. And I know the last time we were doing this, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about saving the life of Moses and how Miriam was involved in saving her brother's life. Without her, he wouldn't have, he may not have survived. He may not have, well, he wouldn't have probably got his mother as his wet nurse. But there's more to Miriam than that, as we read. And we'll just take it as a text in Micah chapter 6. And verse 4. It says, "For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt and redeemed thee out of the house of servants, and I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam." All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you, Lord, to bless this evening, to bless the word, to let your word be come forth, and help us to get one step closer. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So it's really interesting. See? Someone's coming to sit at the front. Other people can come too if they want. It's really interesting. I'm watching a fascinating series on YouTube about a guy who's building a boat. And he's restoring an old boat from plans. It's called Tally Ho. Has anyone seen? Jesse, you might have seen some of that. So it's a 100-year-old boat, and he's taking out all the old timbers and replacing. Basically, he's rebuilding the boat from the ground up. And he goes through this process where he lays out the plans that are on paper, full scale, on the floor of a shed. It's called lofting. And the idea is, if you draw a plan of a boat that's, 40 foot long on a piece of paper that's, 2 foot long, every single pencil line that you draw that is about 6 inches big in real life if you just blew it up to real life size. Okay? So what you need to do is you need to lay that plan out, and then you need to figure out what the actual lines, what the actual shape is, because there's a whole 6-inch wiggle room. And if you get that 6 inches too far on one side and 6 inches too close on the other side, you kind of end up with a weird looking boat instead of a beautiful looking boat. And I thought that's really interesting, because this is the plan of God. Okay, but it's written down in a little book that you can carry around in your pocket. Okay? But the plan of God is you and me living a whole fulfilled life, living the life of Christ. And so as we get down and we look at what did God mean, we have to actually lay it out in real life and find out what God actually meant. Because you know as well as I know, there's a lot of wiggle room in the Bible to justify a whole bunch of things that God maybe didn't intend. And so when we look at the great women of the Bible, when we look at Miriam, the prophetess, when we look at the life of Moses, when we look at the life of Aaron, you can draw all kinds of different conclusions from it. But what we want to do is we want to say, what are the conclusions that we can draw? How can we draw these conclusions out in a way that gives us a life that is what God has in his mind or when he wrote the plan? You see? And we're going to get into that tonight because we're going to look at Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. All three were necessary to pull the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And so that means all three are necessary. They all symbolize something. And they're all necessary in our lives to pull us out of the world, out of our old selves, out of the place. Now, the Bible says, I drew you out from the land of servants. That's really the land of slaves. So as we're coming out from the land of slaves, from being slaves to sin, slaves to our past, whatever we're a slave from, God is trying to bring us out into freedom. Right? And so whatever God is bringing you out into freedom, you're going to need a Moses, you're going to need an Aaron, and you're going to need a Miriam. Because God couldn't have done it with just Moses. And he couldn't have done it with just Aaron. And he couldn't have done it with just Miriam. He had to have all three of them in order to bring the children of Israel out. You ever think about that before? How vital Miriam was to the plan of God. And like we said before, again, how vital are you to the plan of God? That, you know, we're talking about, what was it? God entrusted himself in the form of a little baby into the hands of a teenage virgin, Mary, and said, now be careful. Don't drop me on my head because that will ruin my whole plan. You know, if you accidentally lay on me while I'm asleep and kill me, that's going to ruin my plan, but I trust you not to do that, right? And that's the place where we are, where God says, my plans are in your hands to bring into this life. So it's up to us to lay out these plans in real life and to look at them and to say, does that really line up with the word? Does that really line up with the spirit that God is trying to express through the word? That's why there are so many different stories and so many different, because when you're trying to describe, let's even look, when you're trying to describe Jesus, we've got four kind of biographies of Jesus. There's not much information in there. It's not like he's walking around among us, giving us advice and telling us, well, do this and don't do that. That's also God's plan, not to have that. But there's Moses and there's Miriam and there's Mary and there's Rahab. There's all these people in the Bible that are speaking to this is what God is trying to produce in all these different angles. So we got to look at how am I living the life that I get from reading the Bible, and is it lining up in all these different ways? I'm going to preach on lofting sometime, but we're going to finish this series first in 2 or 3 years if the Lord tarries. There's a lot more women in the Bible. Now let's have a look. Moses, the lawgiver. Okay? And that's obvious. Aaron, the priest, the atonement. Where's Miriam? Okay. And we will get to Miriam in Exodus chapter 15. Okay, so here's the situation. Children of Israel, down at the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army is chasing them through the wilderness. And the pillar of fire comes and stands up in the gap. There's mountains all around, there's no escape, and there's one road down onto the beach. And there the children of Israel are gathered. With them, the children, the wives, the animals that they've taken out of Egypt. With them, the riches that they've taken out of Egypt. Okay? And following them, Pharaoh and his army and 600 of his chosen chariots. Okay? These are men of war. These are the choice army that's conquered the nations around about Egypt. These are the tanks. These are the F-16s of their day, the most powerful war machines. And they're just being held back by this cloud that's between them. And the children of Israel say, what are we going to do? If we stay here, we're going to starve. If we go into the sea, we're going to drown. Fine nation, you built us for us, Moses. We're just in this little area. Is this where God led us to? And Moses doesn't know. And he says, Lord, you led me here. I followed your cloud. Now I'm stuck. They're complaining. They got reason to complain. And God says, well, why cry? Speak. Lift up the rod. Moses lifts up his hands. And the wind blows through the night. And sometime in the morning, they wake up and there's dry land between them and a miraculous delivery has come. And they start to cross the Red Sea. Millions of people starting to cross the Red Sea. Oh, this is exciting. This is wonderful. This is deliverance. Okay? And for some reason, God says, okay, you're crossing the Red Sea. I'm leading to the other side. Let me take that cloud away so you don't get too comfortable. Yeah? Because the army of Pharaoh start chasing them. Down they come from the mountains, down across the beach, and they chase them into the sea. And so now if you're at the back of the children of Israel, you're looking over your shoulder. And yeah, sure, Pharaoh's kind of slowed down because his chariots are getting bogged down, but he's still getting closer, and his footmen, and they're chasing you. And okay, and you get up to the other side, and who knows, but Pharaoh was 10, 20 feet away. I don't know, but God seems to work that way. He's quite a dramatic person, really, you know, just when things looked hopeless. And the sea closes, whoosh. Okay. And in verse 1 of chapter 15, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider has he thrown into the sea. That's how close they were, that they could see the horse and his rider being thrown in. It wasn't, oh, look over there. Yeah? The whole army was swept away. Moses starts praising God. The voice of God, the inspiration of God is coming through Moses. Okay? And here we see Miriam in verse 20. And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, sing ye unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Okay? And so what she's done is she's taken the inspiration that Moses gave. That's how Moses started his song, right? She takes that inspiration and she starts dancing and she starts playing her tambourine, her timbrel. And she starts dancing and she leads the women of the children of Israel dancing in glorious jubilation, catching the spirit. and expressing it in praise to God. And I believe there is where we see the role of Miriam. The journey is not complete without praise and dancing. So, looking at you, sisters, this is something that God has for you if you want. All right? But in all of our hearts, we have to have that praise. We have to have that rejoicing. We have to have that emotional expression of the victories that God is giving us. And if you don't have that emotional expression, that joy, that desire to stand up and shout and dance. Now, I know some of us are noisier, like me. Some of us are quieter, like Peter. You know, he's pretty noisy when he's hiding behind his saxophone. But other than that, you don't get much from him. And it's not saying, you know, you got to be like me and shout and jump and dance. Or it's saying if there isn't a genuine emotional praise in your journey, then you don't have a genuine journey yet. The Lord, you haven't realized. It's not saying the Lord hasn't delivered you, but you haven't realized what the Lord has delivered you from yet. Because when you do realize that, you might want to start jumping and dancing a little bit. Okay? And I think that's good. And we see this. Let's turn to Ephesians 5. Because it's one of the markers of being filled with the Spirit. Verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Okay? So there's a drunkenness that's an imitation of the proper drunkenness. And what's the proper drunkenness? But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And this was something that Paul, you know, he believed and he preached and he shared many times. And you can tell this because it's not like this scripture is mentioned once in the scriptures. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. So if you're filled with the Spirit, you will speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Okay? You'll make melody in your heart to the Lord. You'll have that life of praise. You'll have the Miriam experience. Because Miriam caught the word of God that came through Moses, saw the reality of what had happened, and rejoiced in it. So have you caught the word of God that's come to you today? Have you seen the reality of what it's producing in your life? And are you sitting there like a bump on a log just saying, oh yeah, that's good. Well, children of Israel needed Moses and Aaron and Miriam to get through. The journey is not complete without praise and dancing. All right, verse 15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which you are also called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. You know, sometimes you get a little phrase that you like. And maybe when Paul preached, he always said, and you've got to have your psalms and hymns and spiritual songs making melody in your heart to the Lord. Doesn't seem too far of a reach to think that, but do we produce that in our lives? So, Miriam is the praise, that emotional side of the children of Israel. But, you know, we have to be careful because that emotional side, it can get us in trouble. And it got Miriam in trouble. Okay? Before we go, we're going to go to Numbers chapter 12, but before we do, I just want us to stop by 1 Corinthians 11. Okay. Verse 31. Well, let's start off in verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Okay. So there's no such thing as a Christian who won't make it to heaven. Okay. There's no such thing as a child of God who will be condemned with the world. It's not going to happen. God won't let it happen. Okay. But what he's going to do is he's going to bring the correction to you before you get to the point where he has to kick you out of the family. All right? And that's what we're going to read about now. So, verse 1 of chapter 12 of Numbers says, "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman." Okay? So there was a point of order in the life of Moses, the prophet of God, the one that represents the word of God coming forth, the one that God said, "I'll put words in your mouth, you'll be God, Aaron will be your prophet." Okay? And there was something that wasn't quite set up right as far as Miriam and Aaron could see. And I have no doubt, as I stand here tonight, that many of you can look at me and say, "That Derek, there's something not quite right in his life." And I would have to hold up my hand and say, you know, "God have mercy on me. You're right." Okay? You're right. But still, here I am tonight, and I mean, it's an honor. I've been asked to minister. I've been asked to stand at the front and say whatever's on my heart while you all sit there and listen. Like, wow, that's quite something. And I'm trusting that I stand in this position with something that God's given me, regardless of all the faults in my life. And I trust that he will overlook them and put them under the blood. And I trust you'll have the same grace for me. But this didn't happen. And, you know, if you want the worst account of how bad I am as a person, how terrible I am as a Christian, how awful I am in following the word of God, you know who you need to talk to? Rachel, my wife. She sees the worst of me. If you want the second worst account of how I do, talk to my kids because they're the next closest to me. Okay? And so we see a situation here where Moses is a younger brother in a family with Aaron and Miriam. And God has called all three of them into leadership positions, but they're still all a family. They're still all close to each other. And no doubt Miriam could have said, I remember when I had to change your dirty nappies, Moses. Don't come all high and haughty with me. Diapers, sorry, that's English. Okay. Do they use nappies in the South at all? No? Okay, I had to change your dirty diapers, Moses. And so there's a sense of familiarity there, where it's like, feels the ability to criticize, to bring the criticism out into the open. And they said, so now they've taken this thought and now they're bringing it out into the open. Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Has he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now, had the Lord only spoken by Moses? No. Miriam was a prophetess. She had the Spirit come on her. She led the people. She had her role in the leadership. So what she was saying was right, but there was something a little bit wrong with the attitude. The criticism of Moses was the criticism of the man that God had chosen. And so it became a criticism of God. Okay? And we have to be very careful when we look at those in leadership. And I hope, listen, if you have a problem with something I do, if you have a problem with something I say, you're probably right. And what I'd hope you do is come to me. But that's not what Aaron and Miriam and Aaron did. They started to speak about it. Where? In the congregation. Because God called them out of the congregation. So if you have something against somebody, well, what's the best thing to do? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Okay? If you want to take it to that person, make sure that you are... See, the Bible says, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment that you judge, you will be judged that way. Why beholdest thou the beam, the mote, the little speck in your brother's eye, considereth not the beam that's in your own eye? Okay? And really what that says to me, and the Bible also says, judge righteous judgment, is if you have something against another brother, against another sister that's really bugging you, it is very important for you to work this out. Is it a burden that's coming on you from God? Or is it just your own stupid flesh getting annoyed? Okay? And it can be really hard to tell the difference because your flesh will find many ways to justify what it thinks in the Bible. All right? But if it's your own stupid flesh getting annoyed, you better not bring it out into the open. But if it's something that comes on you from God, you better bring it to that person. You see what I mean? And so if you have something in your heart that's like, oh, this is just bugging me, just take it to the Lord and be like, Lord, is this me? And it probably is. Okay, it probably is. Or is this you trying to bring something where I can help somebody? If you see someone overtaken in a fault, go to him, restore him in a spirit of love, considering yourself lest you're going to fall, right? So there's a way to approach that issue, but Miriam and Aaron didn't approach it right. And the Lord, verse 4, and the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, unto Aaron, and unto Miriam. Oh yeah, the Lord spoke to all three of them. Come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. They came out. And the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. They both came forth. Now, you've done something wrong. God's upset with you because you've spoken a judgment in your own mind from your own flesh instead of speaking the judgment of God. Hear now my words, he said. If there be a prophet, I, the Lord, will make himself known. I'll speak to him in a vision. I'll speak to him in a dream. But Moses, I'm really close to Moses. I chose him. You think I didn't know who he would marry? You think I didn't know the situation he'd find himself in? Okay? Why weren't you afraid to speak? Because when you speak against Moses, you're speaking against me. And that's not what position that we want to be in. But why was the Lord so upset? You know, Pharaoh spoke against Moses. The Lord never struck any Pharaoh's people with leprosy. Okay? People, the children of Israel murmured against Moses. Yeah, some of them perished. But the Lord didn't cut them off and speak against them and bring them in and discipline them really hard. Some of them, yeah. But, you know, generally speaking, you understand what I'm saying. There's a special judgment here reserved for Miriam and for Aaron. The cloud departed, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, and you can see now, here's a description of what Miriam looked like. Okay? Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed where he came out of his mother's womb. You see? So it was a pretty severe judgment that came on her. All right? And I want to stop here. Why did Miriam get the judgment and not Aaron? Aaron was still the high priest. He still had the atonement to do. He still had the sacrifices to do. Okay? And you know, sometimes when we get into a bad situation, a wrong situation, it's not that we're separated from the service of God. We may be going to church. We may be playing our guitar. We may be preaching. We may be doing the things that God has laid on our heart for the duty to do, but our praise just is ugly and it's just all shriveled up. And why? Because we've separated ourselves from the grace of God. And God's judgment has come upon us. And you can't praise him properly. Maybe you can still serve him, but you can't praise him properly in that situation. And another thing, you know, sometimes, brothers, your wife is going to bear the consequences of what you've done wrong. And God will put that judgment on her and say, Aaron, look what you did. And Aaron knew that, yeah, Miriam had a part of that, but he had a part of that because when that emotional side started complaining, the priest didn't say, calm down. I know it looks bad. I know it may not seem right. But look at it, if you like, logically. Look at it from God's perspective. Look at it. He's the one who set this in order. He's the one who did this. And Moses, you see, but he joined in with her complaints and brought judgment on her where he could have stopped that. So interesting. So just be aware, brothers, that how you deal with that emotional side of your relationship with your wife, generally wives are, at least as far as I found, a little more emotional, is going to figure into the judgment that God may put on on the family. Do you understand what I mean? Okay. And then also in our lives as a person, if your praise gets a little bit down, if your emotions get the better of you, and it's like, oh, I'm grumpy today and things are bad, you got to go back to the Word of God and not have your logical mind, which should be praising God and saying, no, calm down. Come in opposition to the Word of God, because that's, if you like, Miriam's the emotion, Aaron's the thoughtfulness, the work, and Moses is the Word of God. You see how that is? But if you can keep your emotional side, you know, if you can keep two of the three, yeah, on the side of the Word of God, you'll be all right. Because when your emotions get all down, you can say, but I have faith. I may not have emotions for it, but I'm going to stick with the Word of God. All right? And when your logical mind gets a bit bogged down, it's like, oh, things aren't working. This isn't going well. That isn't going well. It just doesn't seem like it's right. Your emotions can say, but I will praise the Lord anyway. And take the side of the Word of God and not let yourself have those two elements gang up against the third. You see what I mean? I hope that makes sense. Okay, so. And God said in 1 Timothy, some men's sins go before, some follow after. He said, but for my children, they're all going to go before. I'm going to judge you here. And he said, listen, if her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp for 7 days, and after that be received in again. Pretty harsh judgment. Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. So that's interesting as well. If you're praise, if you're down, you can't praise God. You're going to stay where you are till you can bring that praise back in. But you can see the shame on Miriam. It's like, everybody knows why we're not moving. We're waiting for Miriam to get back into the camp. And that's a hard judgment. But is it any harder than Moses? God telling Moses, you can't enter into the promised land because you smote the rock twice. Is it any harder than Aaron dying without ever seeing the promised land? I don't think so. But these hard judgments are given to people that God puts in exalted positions because they're examples to the rest of us. So, let's turn to Numbers 20 and we'll finish up here. Then came, verse 1, the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in about the first month. And the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. So it's interesting. You know, David, he wanted to build God a temple. Okay. And God said, I'm not going to let you do it. And he said, I took thee from the sheepcote. This is 2 Samuel 7. From following the sheep to be ruler over Israel. I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thy enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like the name of great men that are in the earth. And you know, there aren't many people that are mentioned that says, and they died and they were buried. God paying his respects to them. As we saw a few times ago, Rachel is not mentioned. Leah's mentioned where she was buried, not Rachel. Okay. So there are only a few people in the Bible that says, and they were buried here. And Miriam is one of them. Why? Because she was a great woman of God. And has a name like the great people of God. And that praise, it's interesting that there's no water for the congregation. And if you suddenly you lose your praise, you might get a little thirsty as well. And so she was buried and she passed away and she never saw the promised land, but she'll be there. She'll be there. Miriam, John Wesley said this about her, prophetess to be an assistant to her brothers and to be an example and a counselor to the women. To complete the journey with praise and with dancing, to catch the spirit and to transmit it to others around her. And to stand in the word of God. To be a warning to us, sure. But that warning is there to show us that she was one of the elect. Amen. Praising the right thing instead of praising the wrong thing. Catching the inspiration. Working with the word of God. Working with the priesthood to lead the children of Israel out. And that is all I have for right now on Miriam. I trust it's a blessing to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Miriam, the example that she lays before us. May we praise you in truth and in spirit. May we watch what we say about others. Lord, may we endure any shame that your punishment would bring us, knowing, keeping our eyes on the prize that you are calling us to higher things, the things of this world that are temporal will pass away, but your word will endure forever. And Father, when we get to the other side and we meet our sister Miriam, Lord, we'll be thankful for her and the great things that she did for you. May our lives also be in the whatever way you've called us, may our lives be worthy as hers was worthy. May we do the thing that you have for us to do in this life. That, Lord, maybe one day you would give us a name like unto the great men and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of thy Lord. If I've said anything, Lord, that's been in error, I pray that you'd bring it to your light. Your words of truth, I pray, would go down into our hearts and prepare us for your coming in this dark and evil day. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Do we know the song, I Want That Kind of Blessing? No. Well, we need to sing a song that praises the Lord. So, what's a good song that praises the Lord? Okay.
Praise you. Praise you. Let my life praise you.
But I was thinking of more of kind of on the lines of
praise him, praise him, praise him in the morning, praise him in the noontime, praise him, praise him, praise him in the darkest night, love him, love him. Love him in the morning, love him in the noontime, love him, love him, love him in the darkest night. Serve him, serve him, and serve him in the morning, serve him in the noontime, serve him, serve him. Serve him in the darkest night.
Well, we can disagree about whether it's when the sun goes down or in the darkest night, but we can agree that we're going to serve him, we're going to love him, we're going to praise him, whatever he brings our way. Amen? Amen. Elisha, would you come and close the meeting in a word of prayer?
Opportunity to gather, to praise you, and to learn more of you. We pray that you would bless us this evening and the rest of this week, Lord, till we meet again. Thank you again. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. And as you go, you got to remember.
Praise him, praise him, and praise him in the morning, praise him in the noontime. Praise him in the darkest night.